I'm speaking today with Robert Kane, who's a candidate for Houston City Council in District F. Robert, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
You know, it's a question I've asked myself, and I've been frequently asked. I grew up in Boston, lived in Orlando for 13 years. I've been in Houston for 4 years. And I just don't like the direction that government and the way that the city seems to go in a lot of cases. The city's more of a reactive rather than proactive sort of government. I really had no desires or any aspirations to be in politics, but I just figured, you know, I can stand on the sidelines and complain about it, or jump into the ring and try to do something about it to fix it.
Okay. You say on your website that you're not a politician. Why is that an asset in running for political office?
Well, I think what happens is today, and I've been going door-to-door talking to a lot of people, and again, saying the way that politics and government go, it's as though people use a position like city council as a stepping stone. And no sooner do you win an election that you're working for your next election or working for your next position. And you really don't have time to focus on the job or the concerns that really need to be attacked. We'll talk about it probably at some point in this interview, but I used to be in the hotel business, and they used to like to send me out to problem hotels, basically, that needed to be cleaned up and turned around. And you need to make a checklist of what needs to be done, what the priorities are, and just keep with them and attack them until they're done. So when I say I'm not a politician, that probably works against me in the political field, but I think as far as the individuals go, they will appreciate someone more being honest, that's going to tell you what's on my mind, not what you want to hear, to get your vote and then win the vote, get into office, and then do what I, you know, my ulterior motives were, or if I had any access to grind or people to help. That's not my intention. 4 years here, a lot of people say that's a disadvantage. I think it's an advantage because, like I said, in hotels we used to call that fresh eyes. You come in and you see things that people in Houston that have been here for longer than I will say, oh, that's just Houston, or that's the way it is. And I'll ask frequently, but why do you accept it like that? And I say, well, it's always been like that. But I don't think people should accept it just because that's the way it is. And if you've been to other places, I've been to 40 of the U.S. states, I've traveled to nearly 50 countries, you see different things the way they can be. And this isn't college where it's plagiarism to copy someone's idea. If you see something in another area, whether it be San Francisco's recycling program or police departments in other areas doing things differently than we do, copy it. We don't have to reinvent their wheel. They did all the work and all the money researching what's going to work. So let's find out who's doing things the best. It would be nice if Houston would be an innovator in some area rather than lacking behind and always coming down bottom of the list. And I'm not making fun of Houston. It's just that they haven't had many politicians in there that want to give it that direction.
Okay. District F covers a lot of the southwest parts of town, including Sharpstown. What do you see as being the top priorities for this district?
Well, and you're going to hear this from everyone you speak to, I'm sure. You know, crime is on everyone's mind. I spoke to a 74-year-old man the other day. He had pulled up to his house in the middle of the afternoon, and a gun was pulled on him. And he was asked for his money, and he asked what money. And the person had followed him from the bank, reached into his pocket, and said, this money. So, I mean, you know, when you have people, especially elderly and females, being threatened like that, I don't think the police department, first of all, being understaffed, helps. It would be like going to a Walmart and having only three lanes open, you know, when they have all these available lanes not being serviced. We have a couple of, you know, the way that everyone loves the constables on patrol out here, but what if the Sharpstown Civic Association didn't have the money to pay it? They ran something in the newsletter saying it cost us $300,000 a year, and if we don't raise enough dues, we're going to have to cut back. And if they didn't raise enough dues, they'd have to cancel it. I think people shouldn't have to call the constables on patrol. I can't think of another place I've been to where you have like a secondary police force. And what happens is, I think you have duplicity in a lot of areas, whether it be in command, and you're paying for different things that you do with Harris County, with constables, with HPD. Next year, they've only budgeted 2 police academies, which means, I think the city admits to we're 1,200 police officers short. It's probably more in the tune, closer to 1,500. So with retiring and leaving officers, with only 2 academy classes, next year we're going to be in a worse situation, which I don't think is fair to anyone. I'm actually going to go in front of City Council on this Tuesday coming up, which will have already passed by the time this airs, to ask, you know, are you looking to the future? And that's really one of the problems with term limits as well, because I believe there should be term limits. They should probably be a little longer than 6 years, so someone's more responsible and makes a longer vision for the city. 6 years, it's kind of like, we're going to pass through here. It's like if you're selling your house and you know maybe you might need a roof, you just cross your fingers and say, hope it doesn't leak while I'm here, and maybe I'll sell it rather than make that investment. But if you knew you were going to be in the house another 10 or 12 years, you would probably plan ahead for replacing that roof. It gives you more of a vision. A long-term planning, 6 years just doesn't do enough. But back to what's, you know, bothering people in District F, it's definitely, and this is something where I say also on there, you know, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. We all want the same basic, and that's what I like about City Council, is you're able to do the basic workings of a neighborhood, whether it be the police department, flooding and drainage. I talk about that, that's part of the vision that I talk about, because 60%, I've heard some other people that you've interviewed use different quotes, and I believe it's around 60% is at the 50-year mark, at it, approaching, very close approaching, or beyond it. So, and like I think it was Lane Lewis, he was correct when he said the city needs to invest $500 million a year approximately in starting to replace what's under the streets. And those are things we don't see. They have ways of testing the water pipes for leaks, but there's really no way of testing the drains. And there was a hotel that I managed actually about 8 years ago up on I-10, and I had gone up, there was a water leak in a drain under the meeting room, and I went down there with the chief engineer, and there were caverns under the building from where just erosion had been happening over time since the water was leaking. And that's really, well, other than sending a camera down the pipes, unless you dig up the hole and you look down and go, oh, look at that mess. These things are all rotted away. It's something that needs to be done, much again like the roof on your house. I mean, there's no getting away from it. You can close your eyes and pretend it's going to go away, but it's like death. It's going to happen one time. There's no beginning.
Okay. Since you mentioned the hotel industry a couple times, you know, Houston has been in some ways in the hotel business, with the convention center and all. Do you have any thoughts about the city, you know, owning or investing in hotels?
No, I don't think there's any need for the city to be in the hotel business. I don't know what their motive was at the time to get in, you know, the building, to get into it. Maybe they felt they needed that to attract. But if the market wants the hotel, there's no shortage of real estate developers or people that want to own hotels. That's what they do.
Okay. City recently passed its budget and contained some cuts across the board as we're having hard economic times right now. What's your opinion of the budget that City Council passed, and looking forward on the assumption that, you know, we're going to be continuing in some hard times for at least another fiscal year? How should City Council adapt to that from a budgetary perspective?
Well, I think what I've noticed is a lot of times politicians and people running for politics will frequently speak on the spending side of it. Having managed hotels, there's 2 sides to a profit and loss. There's an income side as well. I think a little more focus should be paid attention to on collecting the revenues appropriately, as well as on the spending, of course. But a good area of that would be sales tax revenue. I'm sure everyone knows that that's a state function, but the city has a big interest in it because that's where a big chunk of the revenue comes from. there's so many, and if the city's so big, they just can't, the state is not equipped to handle the audits of businesses, and I think the city should get a little proactive in that arena to say, you know what, we're going to go make sure that all of our revenue is being collected too. And if anyone ever knows anyone that's had a cash business and how they always say, oh, it's a cash business, this is so great, what they mean by that is they're not reporting all of their sales for sales tax, not only income revenues, but sales tax purposes as well. And it's an area frequently overlooked. But if you see the chunk of the budget that revenues come from sales tax, I think it's only, you know, rather than always having these fees and fines to raise revenues, there's money being basically stolen from the people in sales tax that's not reported. I'll just give you an example. If anyone's ever been to a taco truck, there's no cash register in there. How are they reporting these sales? Or if you've been into a store where you pay for something and it doesn't make it into the cash register, the person doesn't ring it up, that's more sales. It happens all over the city. And am I against business? No. Am I against business stealing tax money from the city and the state? Yes. And I think that's an area that needs to really be focused on, that's been overlooked in many different areas, and not only Houston, but other places as well.
Okay. Metro, as you know, is breaking ground on two more light rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum. There's still two more come after that. These are supposed to be completed in 2012, maybe 2013. If you were elected to council, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. So looking ahead, when Metro completes the tasks before it now on the current rail expansion, what do you want to see them do next? What should Metro's direction be?
Well, I never claimed to be a public transport planner or anything like that, but I've been around enough that I like using public transportation. Having grown up in Boston, it has a great public transportation system, the oldest subway in the U.S. And I look at the Metro map, and people say, first of all, oh, Texans won't use it. Well, I think people will use it no matter where you're from, if it's convenient and it goes to places you want it to. And I've looked at the map, and it seems a little confusing because I've done a couple of routes, like if I were to go from point A to point B, and you almost always have to make a double connection. And that's not very conducive to public transportation. You almost want to have, and again, I'm not the expert in it. I'm just speaking from a normal person's standpoint. One connection should be the norm. So I think the lines have to be a little more lined up properly. Nothing is planned to come into Southwest Houston. You know, it goes over to Hillcroft, and that's about it. Any commuter rails, nothing going to Sugar Land. And I don't even believe I saw a commuter rail going up to Katy. And that, to me, seems like a couple of markets that are being ignored. I think they're being probably optimistic. What did you say, 2012?
2012 is when it's scheduled to be done. I think it's probably more likely 2013, but we'll have a better idea soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, being realistic in budgets and being realistic in your projections so you don't let people down, I don't see how they're going to do it. I certainly hope it doesn't end up like the downtown train where, you know, makes all these zigzags across streets, that it's more linear, I guess, where it goes in straight lines, because those curves are just, when I drive downtown Houston and you see this train coming out of, you know, at an angle across the street, you just wonder, who designed this plan? And I know it's had its issues, and I hope they, until the flooding program is in place or something that has addressed the flooding issues, that Metro takes that into consideration so they're not, you know, underwater when the city's underwater, and then not only is traffic stalled, but public transportation is stalled as well. I know when I had read something somewhere on the internet when they were talking about, I don't forget what's the line going to be called that goes on Washington.
Well, that one is not
right,
part of the current plan. It would be the inner Katy corridor plan.
And they were having concerns about, you know, which way it was going to go and down what street. And I believe there was a college, university, or a group of students that had put together a different proposal, and it seemed to make more sense. And it included the elevations. And
I haven't seen that. I can't speak to it.
There was something that I came across. And again, I just think that sometimes I would be more interested in someone without an interest designing something. And when I say without an interest, I mean they maybe are putting it down one street for whatever unknown reason to us. I like when colleges and universities, there's a lot of bright kids out there, you know, more intelligent than both of us probably, you know, with different ideas. But, you know, rather than just putting a program out there saying, hey, someone come to us, I would approach colleges and universities and give it to them as a challenge and say, show us what you can do, what you can come up with, rather than spend millions of dollars on consultants to come up with these ideas, where I think young college kids would be like enthusiastic and say, look at what we did for the city of Houston. You pick the best idea from there. Because the city does spend a lot of money on attorneys and consultants and audits. And, you know, I had a chief engineer before that we hired in a hotel. And every time something broke, he said, well, who do we call to fix this? And I said, you and your guys, that's what you're here for. I mean, rather than he just frequently wanted to call outside companies to fix things that were broken, I said, no, that's what you guys are for. You're the maintenance team of the hotel. And it angers me a lot of times when I see these audits done and the amount of money that's paid to have them done. When we have staff in the city, or we could have had staff in the city probably conduct some of these audits, or it should have been information readily available that should have been in regular record keeping, that you didn't have to, you know, outsource an audit that costs, you know, the city God knows how much, and it takes a year to complete.
Okay. We're going to be electing a new mayor this fall. What is your opinion of Mayor White's term in office, and how would you like the next mayor to be, like him or not like him?
Well, I watch city council meetings quite frequently. Not every one I get to see, but I see a lot of them. And I think he seems like he has good intentions for the city. He tries to put it in the right direction. But I think, as you referred to, or heard it referred to as the strong mayor system in city council, he pretty much says this is the way what we're going to do, and it seems like everyone almost follows him and goes along with it. And I think you do need some, not confrontation, but dissent sometimes. You shouldn't just agree with everything that the mayor says to keep him happy. He's been very revenue-oriented. You know, fees, like I said, fees, fines, and, you know, getting money from all those areas that he can. He's been pro-business, which I think is good, in a respect that he's trying to bring business to the city of Houston. But I frequently hear this term used, that because we don't have so many regulations, that's what businesses come here to do. And I kind of disagree with that. Businesses come here to make money. And when you have the amount of people that Houston has, 2.2 million is the number I always hear thrown around, businesses are going to come here because there's people here and there's money to be made. It's not because they can put up a sign the way they want it, or, you know, they don't have to follow rules. Businesses go to other places to do business and follow the rules that are given to them because they're going to make money, not because it's a free-for-all and they're not going to have to listen to any rules. So I disagree that business is only here because of that. Not, they're here because of the number of people. So as far as, I didn't even answer the question, did I?
Well, let me just go to the next question. You actually did answer the question, but do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in this election?
And here's where I say I'm not a politician, I'm just like you. Everyone so far that I've heard has danced around this question. And do I have a preferred? Yes, I do. I'm afraid to tell you, I probably shouldn't. Not politically correct, but yeah, I think Denise Parker would make a wonderful mayor. And why do I say that? Think about it. Put all your differences aside, whether you think whatever her background is, what she thinks personally, she's a female, whatever, Democrat, Republican, put all that aside. Look at what's going to be best for the city. Here's a person that spent 6 years on city council, 6 years as controller. You're going to probably have a number of new city council people on the city council this year. You're going to need someone that has a little background knowledge on the city, what's in the bank, what's in the accounts, what we can spend, what we can't spend. And I think she has her finger on the pulse of what's going on financially in the city. of a fiscally responsible vote. You know, I don't have anything against Peter Brown, Gene Locke, or Mr. Morales. I don't have anything against those guys. But I think you have to look at what's going to be best for the city. And again, in politics, I've run into people that know some of my competitors, and that's fine to know them, but at least have an open mind to say, who's going to be best for the district? Don't just vote for someone you think you like and you know him and say, oh, he's a nice guy, you know, or he's been around a long time. That doesn't make him the best candidate or who's going to do the best for your district or for the city. Put your differences aside, keep an open mind, and vote that way.
And so when people come to vote in the for District F this year, why should they vote for you and not for one of your opponents?
Well, there's another opponent of mine, Peter Aquaro, that I happen to think would do a very good job as well. And if I didn't win, I would actually like to see Peter win. I think his heart's in the right place. He, again, I don't believe has ulterior motives and would do a good job. He's probably more likable than I am in person, but I think I have the passion to get done what the city needs to have done. I'm not a guy that will go out to every civic association meeting, every luncheon, and you know, be posturing for the next election. I would be behind the scenes working hard. One of the things when we used to take over a problem hotel is you make a checklist. And how I said you go and you attack each issue that needs to be done. In addition to that, and I hate to keep talking about hotels, but it's very similar to what I intend to do in office, is I would have to go and, by my choice, check 10 rooms a day. No manager likes to do that because they have so much paperwork and so much administrative work to do as it is to take the time out and go check 10 rooms. But checking those rooms on a daily basis, what it does is it lets the housekeepers and the maintenance staff know that you're out on the floors, you're around. They're going to be a little more vigilant, as would the police or the public works. If they knew the city councilman was always roaming the area, I think they would probably be a little more diligent as well. You make a checklist. And you go through a room. So that's being proactive. So I know the carpets are getting dirty. Oh, they need to, you know, I need to plan on cleaning this. The sink needs to be replaced in this room, rather than waiting for someone to come to me and complain. My vision is to do something like that in District F. And that's why I'm running for a district position. I just want to show what can be done and that it can be done. You grid off the district. And politicians are great at raising money when they need to and going out and knocking on doors when they need to and meeting people when they need to. But when it's time to do their job, they're more like a social butterfly. They're in meetings, they're at events and things like that. They should be out on the street so they know when that pothole is there or they know when there's an issue in the neighborhood before you have to call them. So you grid up your district and you basically just attack it the way you do when you're running for campaign. You go precinct by precinct. And you're going to see things. You're going to see signs that are broken or street signs that are missing or stop signs that are missing. Or you're going to see an area that maybe could use a speed bump before the residents are in front of you saying, this is what we really need. Our civic association asked for a guest room beach net to be changed because of the no left turn thing. And everyone I talked to that lives in this area agrees with that. This is something that they've asked to be done time and time again. I just don't understand why that hasn't been done yet. It's not a million-dollar fix. It's something that, if it's important to the people that vote, it's important to me. And that's all I get to say. I mean, I would take it serious. And if you want someone serious to come in and do their job and not just be positioning for another race or another position, state rep or whatever, or city controller, like a lot of the you have three city councilmen moving for city controller, you know, they're just looking to move up and you know, up the ranks. My goal is city councilman. I don't want to be mayor. I don't want to be a controller. I just want to come in, hopefully for the term limits, and, you know, maybe term limits would be something that I would raise in the future about extending it to 10 years, like I said, and just doing this and showing that the city can change and be a visionary where other cities then say, look at what Houston did. Look at how they turned it around. Much like Gordon Bethune at Continental Airlines, the credit that he got for going from worst to first. Just taking that kind of thing, that's exactly the mentality that he had, is just take care of the customer, do the right thing, and clean it up.
That's what I would like to do.
Robert Kane, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.